All right. Thank you, Pastor. It's a joy to be with you here at Madisonville, Kentucky, Island Ford Baptist Church. And I appreciate the opportunity to get to come. Hope the Lord will help us tonight, throughout the week. Whatever His will is, that's exactly what we want. Amen. And so I'm grateful for the Lord's protection and His safety to get to come up the road.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for your presence in the house of God tonight. I'm in Proverbs in chapter number 1. If you would please turn with me to Proverbs and chapter number 1. We're going to pick up our reading with verse number 20. Proverbs 1 and verse number 20. The scripture says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." Aren't you thankful for that good grace of God?
Amen.
That He's made His word known unto us. But He says in verse 24, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." Let's pray. Lord, as we bow before you tonight, we're so grateful, Lord, for being able to wake up today and feel the good peace of God in our hearts and know we've been saved by the good grace of God. And Lord, I want to thank you for the good day, for health and strength. Lord, help us and forgive us for being a complaining people. And I pray that you'd Lord, turn our focus tonight upon you and the Word of God. And Lord, we surely need help tonight. I stand in need of your touch and power to be able to preach. Please help my throat and Lord, direct my mind. And Holy Ghost, give us that unction and power to be able to preach. I pray, Lord, that you'd cause a great effect in our hearts.
Yes.
And Lord, birth revival among God's people in this day. And Lord, save poor lost sinners, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Well, I want to look at this chapter tonight, Proverbs chapter number 1. And I want to take these verses that I've read in your hearing, I want to preach to you on the payday of a fool. The payday of a fool. And I want to bring out a few thoughts in the way of introduction tonight. And then we're going to look at these installments that God pays to a fool that has turned away wisdom that God has given to us. I want to say to you tonight, I was coming up the road this evening and just trying to clear my thoughts, and we're living in such a day of turmoil, and it seems like so much devastation going on in people's lives, that I was just trying to meditate and let the Lord warm my heart about preaching tonight. And I guess my first statement might offend some tonight, but I'm being honest with you. I feel like some of the hardest people to preach to in this day are fundamental independent Baptist folks. I've been around in some poor places that have not been subject to the Word of God as much as we have. And it seems like the Word of God is taken much easier with people that have not been exposed to it as much as we have. The Lord has privileged me, and if He sees fit, here in about 6 weeks, I'll make another trip. But He's privileged me with an opportunity to go down into Mexico several times in the last 25 years and go down in there and have opportunity to preach. Amen. And I've noticed to those people that don't pride themselves so much in knowing everything, such as we do. They seem like their hearts are more pliable and warmer to the truth of God. I feel like that if the Lord's going to help us, we're going to have to humble ourselves before God. It seems as though, and I'm not trying to be offensive tonight, I'm just trying to preach to you the truth, but in many of our churches, if ladies can put on a long dress or a skirt, it's almost like they can hide their wickedness underneath that skirt, underneath the standard of wearing that dress. They can be vile and wicked and ungodly. Y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? It's almost like we men can polish ourselves in a clean haircut and pride ourselves that we don't run to tattoo parlors and carry the King James Bible. But it seems like for some reason there's such a spirit of grieving and hardness and coldness among our churches. I think we're trying to pride ourselves in who we are and how many standards. Now, many of you don't know me, but I preach clean moral living often. And I'm all for standards of righteousness and preach on it often. But it puzzles me that in many of our old-fashioned Bible-believing churches, there's just a spirit of deadness and coldness among us. It's almost like we've heard it all preached and we've arrived and we're doing everything right so that we think so. But that's not true. And the Lord needs to help us tonight. And I want Him to humble me this week. Yes, sir. And I want Him to help me to see myself as I really am. Yes. I want you to notice verses 20 and 21. Here's what He says. The Bible says, wisdom crieth without. So we understand there is a personification, or wisdom has become personified here in the Scriptures. And it is literally the wisdom of God speaking here. And the Bible says wisdom crieth without. Wisdom of God is trying to help you tonight. Amen. Isn't it amazing? The Lord's privileged me, and I say this not in a boastful way, but I've had the opportunity to preach for over 40 years now. Amen. And many of those years have been pastoring folk and trying to help folk. I'm trying to understand why people are so bent on rejecting the wisdom of God. I don't know how to help anybody, but I know the Lord can help everybody if they'll just take to the wisdom of God. Aren't you thankful that God made a move toward us? He didn't have to do that, but He did that. And what a gracious God, a loving God, that's trying to help us tonight. Why, we don't need to act like we've tipped God tonight, coming out in a cold night and maybe a little scratchy throat. We think, boy, God owes us a favor tonight. We're really doing God a favor. I'm here to tell you, God is trying to reach out to us tonight with His grace and mercy, because we need His help right here at this church. We need help in a big way tonight. And He's saying that wisdom is crying out. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying. And so wisdom has a voice to us tonight. Right. And you'll notice that the voice of wisdom is in contrast to the voice of the wicked. Boy, the wicked's all the time trying to say stuff, aren't they? The wicked's all the time talking on Facebook. And the wicked's all the time talking on the phone and texting. You know what our biggest problem is? We have been exposed too much to technology. And the world now has an easy access into the Christian home. And the world now has easy access into our churches. And that's why God is offended. It's because we have taken on too much worldliness. And He's offended by that. And so, look here at verses 10. The Bible says, here's the voice of the wicked. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That doesn't sound too difficult. He's speaking to somebody and giving the wisdom of God. And so He says, if sinners entice... You know where you find sinners at? Well, you find sinners everywhere. They're in your family. They're at your family get-togethers. And they live next to you. And they work with you. And you'll find them in the house of God. And sinners are always, you know, God's people go to sleep about trying to reach sinners. But sinners never do rest about trying to reach God's people. They're always trying to entice and put you on a guilt trip for living for Jesus. And He's saying, consent thou not to it. He says, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have one purse, my son. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Doesn't matter if it's your first cousin. Doesn't matter if it's inside family relationships. Doesn't matter if the pressure comes on the job and the boss man's enticing you to sin. You always stand for Jesus. Always do what's right. Always honor God. You say, preacher, is that your word? It is my word, but I'm telling you what wisdom from God is telling you. And so we find that the wisdom of God is in contrast to the words of the wicked. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, how long ye simple ones? Will you love simplicity and scorners delight in the scorning and fools hate knowledge? So we could say this. We could say that this is a message to fools. I don't want to be a fool tonight.
Amen.
The Bible gives a lot of record about fools. I'm reading a scripture here in Psalm 53 in verse number 1. And the scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Period. That's what he said in his heart. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. So fools, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but it's amazing how many people that reject the wisdom of God. They feel like they can just annihilate God. And they can annihilate truth and the Word of God. All they got to say is, well, I've got a different opinion. I'm of a different belief. I don't believe in God. And somehow in their foolish thoughts, they think that that just does away with God. And then they'll say, well, I believe God just loves everybody and he's just saved us like we are and he loves us in our filth and our sin. God does love us. That's why Christ stepped across the stars and came to where we are. But he doesn't love sin. And we somehow think that we can rewrite what God's truth says to us just by coming up with an opinion that's contrary to the Word of God. We think we can annihilate the fact that men die and after death, the judgment. And we think, well, I see things differently. You can preach living clean. You can preach against adultery. You can cry out against putting away your mate and marrying another. And tag it as God has tagged it and call it adultery. You can preach against fornication that has penetrated our churches this day. And all of a sudden people come up, are y'all okay? Are y'all okay? Y'all agree with what I'm preaching tonight? Yes, that's true. And all of a sudden people, it's the man of God that's wrong. And it's the truth of God that's wrong. And they feel like they can rewrite the whole thing just by crossing the wisdom of God. They're fools. They're fools.
Amen.
Follow with me if you would please. Look at Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse number 15. Here's what the scripture says. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Does anybody know anybody like that? Boy, I meet them like that all the time. And, I don't have all the answers. The only thing and being a preacher and, you know, I don't get a lot of calls, but sometimes you get in connection with somebody that has just made a mess out of their life.
Right.
I mean, their life is like, untangling a tumbleweed. And that by the time they've related all their messes, I think to myself, there's absolutely no hope, but I know there is.
Right.
And you try to give them the wisdom and the truth out of God's Word about what they need to do. And it's like, they just don't want to do it.
Right.
They just think, well, I've got another option. I've got another option. I can just keep on going away from God. I can smoke another joint of marijuana. I can take some more painkillers. I can just drink some more booze. I can find me another woman. I'll find me another man. I'll just keep sneaking behind my parents' back and indulging in sin. I'll keep moving forward. You know why they do that? Because they're fools.
Right.
Their way that they're going, the Bible says, seems to be right in their own eyes. Look at chapter 14 and verse number, Proverbs 14, verse number 9. The Bible says the wisdom, verse number 9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Well, I don't know about you tonight, but I want the favor of God upon my life. Amen. I want to be able to live my life and lay down at night and wake up in the morning knowing that I've got the favor of God. Did you know it's possible to live life like that? Knowing that you've got the favor of God. We just don't run our direction and run our route and say, hey, God, I'm over here. You need to come over here. No, you need to get in line with God. You need to leave your direction and go His direction. Right? That's right. Look with me at chapter 23 and verse number 9. Here's what the Bible says. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Well, I could go on and on, but the Bible just is clearly giving us a picture of a fool and who a fool is. And you don't have to go to the red light district. You don't have to go out in the streets just to find fools. We've got fools in our churches that sit and listen to a man of God over and over. I don't understand somebody that says they've been saved by the grace of God and despises a man of God that preaches truth to them. You know what I feel about an individual like that? They've never met the Savior. They've never met the Savior. I feel this way in my heart, and I think you feel this way. But listen, God didn't have to save me, but I thank Him for saving me.
Amen.
He come my way.
That's right.
I didn't go His way. He come to me.
Amen.
He found me. He dealt with my heart.
Right.
He saved my soul.
Sure.
Everything about my life that has been blessed is of God.
Amen.
He gave me my wife. He gave me a privilege to serve Him.
Amen.
And I don't understand people that look on a house of God as a negative place.
Right.
Why would a person say that they're a Christian and want to go to a ball game instead of coming to a house of God?
Amen.
I think that's foolish.
Yes, sir.
I think that's foolish. And it seems like there's so many foolish parents in these days that want to promote in such a strong way sports to their sons and their daughters. Why they just act like, well, my son's a star player on the basketball team, and I feel like it's good for him to have sports. Well, I'm not against that. I'm not against baseball and football and basketball, but I think it needs to be pulled back in the right category where it ought to be. I think it needs to come back into the fun category. I mean, a category that can teach a little discipline and where some young men can enjoy some competition and have some good, clean fun. I don't think ball players ought to be millionaires.
Amen.
That's right. And I don't think God's people ought to promote to their children that you need to be a star ball player.
Amen.
Then they get them on a team somewhere.
Yep.
They'll actually let them lay out of the house of God
to
go to ball practice.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a mom and a daddy somewhere that's missing a brain.
That's right.
They're a fool. I mean, listen, the most important thing that you could possibly do is to promote spirituality and God and wisdom. And what our children need is whole time preaching from the Word of God and to hear truth preached to them. That's what they need. That's the most important thing. And so, this is a message to fools. And in verses 23 and 24, verse 25, here's what it says. turn you at my reproof. So what he's relating to is that a fool rejects God. A fool rejects the Word of God. A fool rejects the wisdom of God. Isn't it amazing how much preaching we hear in our churches like yours, the one where I pastor? I mean, listen, my mama, she's in heaven now. I'm trying to think now. I think she was born, somewhere around 1917. She was born. She was born and raised in the mountains of North Carolina, just outside of Boone, North Carolina, on a poor farm, hard working. You've heard all the stories. I wasn't raised that way, but my mama was raised that way. I appreciate my heritage. I still treasure her stories of the old timeliness and the fear of God.
Right.
How that God worked in her heart. Yeah, and how that she used to walk across those mountain hills to get to the house of God. Did you know when my mama was being raised that it was a rare thing to get to hear a man of God come by and walk in that little white-sided old-timey church building and preach the Word of God? Why, when they caught word that a man of God was going to preach a certain Sunday, they'd come from miles because it was rare. Now we hear so much preaching, people are sick of it. They don't. Listen, it's a good thing to hear preaching.
Amen.
The Word of God's a book that can change your life.
Right.
It can help your family if you'd let it.
Right.
You young people, the wisdom of God is the best direction you can go for your life.
Amen.
So we hear preaching three times a week. We come to church. We send our kids to Christian schools. Or we homeschool them. Or we try to protect them from the world.
Right.
All that's good stuff. All of that. Boy, I tell you, I stand as a thrilled father tonight. God has blessed me with a daughter and two sons and seven grandchildren. And all three of my children have been saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Did you know that just recently my 35, 36-year-old son just got born again.
Amen.
Made two professions. But this time God put them under deep Holy Ghost conviction.
Amen.
And that's what it takes for anybody to get saved.
Amen.
Made him strongly aware of how vile he was and how righteous God was.
Amen.
Brought him to a place where he came to the end of himself. Brought him to a place of repentance. And he cried out to God, and God saved him.
Amen.
And I praise God for that.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing. And I'm here to tell you, hey, my boys heard preaching for years.
Right.
For years. And I'm convinced that what's driving a lot of our pastors to depression in this day is because we're trying to preach and pastor a lot of people that have never been born again.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's right. They grit their teeth at the wisdom of God.
Yes.
Well, the Bible says fools reject God and His wisdom. I want to mention just a few installments of this payment. God's got a payday for a fool.
Right. Yes, He does.
You reject God's wisdom, and you live the life of a fool and go on and live the way you want to live and live by your opinion and exalt your thoughts and your opinion higher than God's truth and God's Word, you're a fool.
Right.
And God says these things, starting in verse number 26 and the following verses, He mentions seven things. I call them installments. God's paying out some installments to the fool. It's the fool's payday for rejecting the wisdom of God. Here's number one. He said, I also will laugh, number one, at your calamity. calamity. Did you know if you reject God? Did you know if you're a fool and you keep walking away from preaching and walking away from the Word of God? You keep rebelling against God. God's gonna give back to you. He's gonna pay back to you something called calamity. What is calamity? It simply means the cause of misery. It's misfortunes. It is a life without the blessings of God. Am I the only one here tonight, but has anybody noticed that some changes that have been happening to this good nation of ours? Has anybody else noticed that? I mean, I'm just, for the last several years and last few decades, there's just some severe changes I've witnessed that's happening to this nation. There's no peace in this nation anymore. It's just full of turmoil. Families and marriages are coming apart at the seams. Kids are just a product of broken homes, and they're a mess. A mess. And I'm saying that in a general sense across our nation. Little tiny girls being abused by Papa. Little boys being abused by their own mother. I've never heard of such perversion. Incest. Sodomy. And can you believe the audacity of shining rainbow-colored lights on the White House of our nation? God help us. And the sickness and the severity of storms and the tragic that's happening economically in this nation. And people are having a difficult time, and people's health is broken. And the ground doesn't produce like it used to produce. And there's such pestilence and disease that they're constantly fighting. And people are constantly doing research and studies about the kind of things that we're eating now. It's so full of poisons and antibiotics, and cancer is on a rage in our society. Well, have you ever wondered why? It's because God's making an installment to America for turning against the wisdom of God. And He will not only do that nationally, He'll do it to a church, and He'll do it to a family, and He will do it to you personally in your life. That's right. So when the prodigal son left his father, and the Bible says he took his share of the inheritance. And apparently there was an act of rebellion working in his heart. He went to a far country. And the Bible says, wasted his substance with riotous living. But wait a minute. The Bible says famine came in that country. Would you believe that God could possibly send a famine time to a whole region, a whole area, for one young man's effect in his life? Sure He will. He would rock a whole boat to get a Jonah thrown over a ship, and He'll send a famine time in a region to affect one person. Calamity. And that's part of God's pay. Listen to what He says in Proverbs in chapter 13 and verse number 15. The Bible says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. It's hard. You know any transgressors that are living in sin? Their way is hard. Their way is difficult. They're just suffering. They're without peace. They're going through difficult times. And that's part of the calamity that has come upon their life. Then look what else he says. He says in Psalms in chapter number 1. The Bible talks about in Psalms 1 and verse number 4. He says, he's talking about the blessed man. But it comes down to chapter number 4. He says, the ungodly are not so. They're not like a tree that's been planted by the rivers of water. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. That's the calamity in their life. He says, for the verse 6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Yes, sir.
The way means their life. Their life perishes because it's full of calamity.
Right.
Number 2, God makes an installment of fear. He makes a payment of fear. He says, you've rejected my wisdom. He said, I'll give you calamity. He says, I will mock when your fear cometh. So he says, I'm paying you back. You didn't want the word of God. And so he's saying, now I'm going to give you fear. This type of fear is called a slavish type fear. It's a fear that comes from guilt. It comes from the anxiety of evil. You know, when people are evil, they know they're evil. That's why we live in a society that's in such unrest. That's why people are lining up trying to buy lottery tickets. People are swallowing pain meds and taking drugs. It's at an all-time high. They've got a guilty conscience.
Yes, sir.
They're full of guilt and fears on them. They're afraid of dying. I'm not against taking care of yourself. I need to do a better job taking care of myself. But all these exercise places, all this natural medicines and natural herbs making billions and billions of dollars. That's because people are standing, getting up in the morning and they hurt and there's pain and they're thinking about how they're living and they've slept with another man and they're going through divorce and it's upheaval and there's bickering and fighting and they're fighting in the parking lot at McDonald's and Walmart with their mate that they're trying to divorce and they're arguing and throwing things and these kids are listening to that. And it's stress and it's racking their mind and causing them to live in a life of fear.
Right.
It's because of sin. It's because of foolishness.
Right.
I thought about Achan. Achan, before he took the Babylonian garment and the wedge of gold and the pieces of silver, he had already heard the word of God. He already knew the wisdom of God about taking those treasures out of Jericho. They were to go in the treasury of the Lord. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know if he was in a broken house in rubble and he found himself by himself. I don't know what it was, but he found these treasures and he took them. And as soon as he took them, I know that fear struck his heart. I know it did because of what he did with those treasures. The Bible says he took those treasures and he took them to his own tent and he hid them in the midst of that tent, in the earth in the midst of that tent. Now, I've been down there. I told you a few minutes ago, I've been down in Mexico and I've been out in some of those poor villages. And in some of those houses, they have dirt for floors. And I've been there as a guest and I've eaten with them. And I've looked at those dirt floors because I remember one time when we arrived with the missionary. We came to the door and the lady of the house was sweeping the floor. It was a dirt floor. But I looked at that dirt floor and I noticed that dirt floor inside of that little small house had been walked on so much by that family that it was packed so hard it was just like tile. Now I don't know how it was in the midst of Achan's tent. But I'm just using my imagination a little bit that when Achan took from the took from Jericho and he stole and he hid it in the midst of that tent. And the Bible says he put it down in the earth. He had to disturb that earth. Which that means his wife must have seen the disturbance in the dirt. Which possibly means his children saw that the earth in the midst of the tent was disturbed. Can you imagine Achan's responses when his wife came in? She said, "What happened here in the middle of the tent?" Him snapping back. Say, I just had to deal with something. Trying to think of something to say. Trying to lie. Trying to cover up something. And then the kids come in and say, "What's happened here in the..." And him crying and say, "Shut up, none of your business." What's making his personality? He's full of fear. Full of fear. We've got a lot of people that think they're hiding something from God. Do you know, I think that's the reason why we don't get a lot of people come around preaching. They're living in fear. They're afraid something's going to be preached that may bring to light something that's wrong in their life. Well, you ought to thank God for that.
Amen.
And so there is this. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18 that fear hath torment.
That's right.
Then notice in verse number 27 of Proverbs 1. The Bible's telling us, we come down through here and he says, when your fear cometh, number 3, as desolation. Desolation simply means ruin and waste. That's what happened. I go back to the prodigal son. He wasted his substance. What's he talking about? He wasted his portion of inheritance. That was his father's. His father worked that out. His father, because he loved his son, wanted to give them a toehold in life. Wanted to help them in life. And say, "Here's your portion." And the younger son, "Could I have it?" And he left home. And he took it out. And I'm assuming in a short period of time, he wasted his substance. That's what people do when they reject the wisdom of God. They waste their life. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my life. Listen, when it comes time to die, if God allows me to have some consciousness, when I know that my time is drawing nigh, I want to be able to look over my life, look over the past years. And I know already I'm going to see a lot of regrets. I know that. I know I'm going to see a lot of wrong turns in my life. But I hope before I leave this world, I can look out over my life and I can see something besides cars and trucks and houses and shoes and clothes. I hope I can see something like that. To be honest with you, when I get to glory, you know only what you do for the glory of God in rightness here in this life will be laid up in store when you get to glory. And that's what I want. That's what I want. It blesses my heart. Not that I'm anybody. Not that I consider myself a good Christian. I want to be one.
Amen.
I don't consider myself a good preacher, but I want to be one.
Yes, sir.
I want to be one.
Amen.
And I want to be able to live my life. Nothing blesses me any better than for somebody to walk up to me and say, "Preacher, I heard you preach one time. And I'm here to tell you, I was at the end of my rope and God took that message and helped my heart and helped me to turn around. Why, I feel like running around the globe to think that a holy God could take a nothing like me and put something good in somebody's life to make a right turn and go the right way." I don't understand why we all don't want to be that way. Don't you want to be that way?
Yes, sir.
You don't have to be a preacher to want that.
That's right.
Amen. But the Bible talks about this desolation. Jezebel died in a desolate way.
Yep.
You know when Jezebel was thrown down and her body splattered? And the cry came, "Here lie Jezebel. Do you know why they made that statement? Because her body so came apart and so had been eaten by the dogs that they couldn't put enough together to have a formal burial.
That's right.
Which simply means that Jezebel, and I'm assuming in all her wealth and in all her power and all her rebellion, now has received her paycheck from God. Nothing but desolation.
Right.
Nothing but splattered drops of blood.
Yep.
Nothing but the slobber of dogs. Nothing but the palms of her hands. Lying out there on the dirt.
Right.
Desolation. And I don't want that. I want to be blessed from God.
Yeah,
don't you want to be blessed from God tonight?
Amen.
Look here in verse number 27. The Bible mentions when fear cometh as desolation. And then he mentions your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. That word destruction there is literally talking about eternal death. Eternal death. Your destruction. Did you know, sinner friend, you can honor your pride all your life. And you can keep honoring your pride and honoring your pride. And you can say, I'm worried about what people will think if I really get saved, and I'm worried about what God might want out of my life, and you can keep honoring that and honoring that, and God wisdom keeps reaching out to you with the gospel and telling you to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and live for Him no matter what. And you can turn from that. And if you turn from that, you will receive destruction. The Bible says, he that believeth in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's sad. I think that's real sad. The Bible says in Matthew and 7, in verse number 13, the Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate. That's wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Enter in at the straight gate. He says, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know how you can find life? You know how you can find that straight gate and that narrow way? Through the wisdom of God.
Right.
Through the preaching from Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost filled preaching of the gospel. God will give you light and give you wisdom and say, this is eternal life.
Amen.
This is eternal life.
Yes, sir.
When I was a young lad, I walked forward in a Baptist church and I didn't have a clue. I was raised by God-fearing parents and they always taught me I need to be saved. I didn't understand what being saved was. So I walked forward in a church and walked up to the preacher, 9 years old. I shook his hand, he shook mine, put his arm around my shoulder and he said, what'd you come up here for today, Ronnie? And I said, preacher, I've come to get saved. He said, that's good. That's good. Patted me on the back. I already felt good. Just him patting me on the back made me feel better. And he called for the Sunday school superintendent and he said that Ronnie's come to get saved. Would you talk to him? And so he took me over and took me down and took me through that Romans road and I didn't have a clue. He just kind of read to me and looked at me and said, do you understand? And I nodded my head and He said, do you want to be saved? And I said, yes. And he said, you don't want to go to hell, do you? And kind of shook his head back and forth. And I said, no, I don't want to go to hell. And he said, you see this right here, if you'll do this. And he said, do you want to pray? And I said, yes. And I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what to say. And you know what? He didn't know either.
Yep.
He said, repeat after me. And he said a few words, and I said a few words. And he said a few more, and I said a few more. And he said, don't let anybody tell you you're lost now because here's what the Bible says. And I got up and I didn't know no more about salvation than a man on the moon.
Yep.
There's multitudes in our churches like that.
That's right.
You say, preacher, you come up here to get us lost. I can't get anybody lost. I can't get anybody lost. But that happened to me.
Right.
And I appreciate the good grace of God directing my paths.
Amen.
And put me in a church where it had a man of God that preached. And the power of the gospel reached into my heart.
Amen.
And dealt with my heart. And showed me I was a lost sinner. And buddy, when I came to that place, when I really saw myself as lost, I couldn't stand it anymore. That Sunday morning, I came out of that back pew. Out of there, I was 19 years old. 10 years had passed. But I had no appetite at all for righteousness because I'd never been saved. I loved the world and I loved sin, but that Sunday morning, I came on begging grounds before God and I fell in that altar and I begged Him to save my soul. And He heard my cry and saved my soul and gave me peace. Been saved ever since. Say, preacher, I've heard you preach your testimony a lot. I do it a lot because I like to hear it preached. I'm still thrilled about the fact of being born again.
Yes, sir.
And the longer I live, I see how rare it is. The Bible talks about this broad way.
Yep.
You know which way the broad way is? It's the way the majority of the people are going.
Yes, sir.
I've been down through Atlanta, Georgia on I-75. Drove right through the middle of downtown. I've been there. I've been through Atlanta, Georgia when traffic was just jammed up. And then I've been there when it was actually bumper to bumper and running about 70, 75 miles an hour. You was afraid to make a move. About 6 or 8 lanes wide going one way. And every time I read about that broad way, and the Bible says many there be that go out, I always get that envision in my mind. This massive broad way. And the multitudes and masses just driving. And all the neon signs and the tall buildings and all the religion and all the neon signs of all the entertainment of the world.
Right.
And isn't it sad to see the condition of our churches today?
Right.
Dancing and playing rock music and coffee shops and little snack rooms in the house of God and people coming in and tank tops and short shorts and just all kind of wickedness and ungodliness and don't even have a man of God. And what a mess!
Yes, sir. Yes.
The broad way! But the Bible's, and I envision in my mind, I can just see society headed that way. Mocking the straight gate.
Right.
Mocking the narrow way. But somewhere out yonder in the future, that broad way abruptly is cut off.
Yes, sir.
And those multitudes are plunging out into eternity.
Right.
Into a place of destruction.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So, the payday, he pays with destruction. Verse 27, distress and anguish. Look what it says. He says in Proverbs 1, verse number 27, he says, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. It simply means the pain of mind. David was a fool. He knew better than to linger on the rooftop and stare at another man's wife in her nudity and lust after her. He knew better when he called for her. He knew better when he shut the bedroom door. He knew better. But he sinned willfully. You know what David was when he did that? He was a fool. He was a fool. So you know what God gave to David? He gave him distress and anguish. And even though David repented and God forgave him and he enjoyed the sweetness of that forgiveness, he penned down in the Psalms, my sin is ever before me.
Right, that's right.
You know what he's saying? He's saying, every time I go in and out,
yes,
I see that little tomb of that young lad
that
was born in that adulterous affair. He said, every time I go out, he said, I see I see Tamar. When her virtue was taken. He said, I see the grave of Amnon. And the Bible even records his response of Absalom's death. Absalom! Absalom! Would God I had died for... You know what's wrong with him? He's full of anguish. He's full of pain in his mind. Don't be a fool. Verse 28, the condemnation is the rejection of God. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Can I tell you something? We have a God of grace, a God of long suffering, a God of mercy. Just the fact that He gives us His word and His mercy is God's grace on our life.
Amen.
But can I tell you what else God is? God is a God of deadlines. He's a God of deadlines. He extends His grace. God doesn't come on your timing. You'll come on God's timing. God doesn't come on your conditions. You come on God's conditions. Amen? That's right. And so, the condemnation, death, judgment, rejection from God. And then I want to close by saying, seventhly, verses 29 through 32, the Bible talks about that God will pay with the fruit of their rebellion. He says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Here's their paycheck. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. God will say, all right, if that's what you want, then that's exactly what you'll get. And that's exactly what He's doing to our nation. Just recently, just about Christmas time, in the area where I live at, There's a very ungodly thing that took place. A local high school, some boys went off to a place for some kind of tournament with other schools. And they do this thing called hazing. I'm not real familiar with that. Some kind of a thing they put freshman players through, kind of like an initiation. And so they took this one boy and they got a hold of a pool stick and did a very vile thing to this boy. Did physical damage to him. And now the whole community's in a rage. They're a rage at the school. They're raging at the coaches. They're angry with these boys that did this. They're angry with this, and I'm with them.
Sure.
I think the boys involved in doing that ought to get the most severe sentence.
Yes, sir.
I think they ought to go to prison.
Yes, sir.
But I've listened to all this rage, and I thought, well, wait a minute. To me, this just didn't happen before Christmas. This started happening 50 years ago.
Right. Yes, exactly.
This started happening when they took the wisdom of God out of the schools.
Right. Yes, sir.
This started happening when they took prayer out of the schools.
Right.
This started happening when they took the wooden paddle out of the schools.
Right.
Yes, sir. This started happening when they started promoting sex education. And escorting Planned Parenthood into teaching.
Right. Yeah.
This started happening when they started treating Christian children as criminals for talking about Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and praying over their lunch pail.
Right.
Yes, this has been going on for decades.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Now we've got heathens raising children.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. I think those boys ought to get a severe sentence. But what are we going to do with the parents?
Right.
What are we going to do with the grandparents?
Yep.
Of generations that have gritted their teeth and spit at the man of God and withdrew from the churches and talked about the preaching in secular places and run down Christians, pulled away from the church, withheld their tithes. Wicked people that hate God's wisdom. I'm done preaching tonight. But I've been trying to preach to you that you can do what you want to do. Basically, I see life is full of two choices. You can either be born again or you can die and go to hell. You can either go the broad way or you can go the narrow way. You can either humble yourself to God or you can live to yourself and the devil. You can have a blessed life, a life that God will bless and honor. Or you can live a life that's full of calamity and destruction.
Yes, sir.
And an upheaval of ruin and fear and destruction in your life. Here's the way he ends the chapter. He says, verse 33, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely." Don't you like that?
Amen.
And he says, "And shall be quiet from the fear of evil." Oh, praise God for that. You know, I'm upset about the way our nation is going. I'm upset about it, but honestly, down deep in my heart, I know I've settled things at the foot of the cross a long time ago.
Yeah, man.
And I've got that sweet peace in my heart tonight, and you can have that too.
Amen.
And there's a lot of times in my life I make foolish choices, but I'm so glad I've got this book of wisdom.
Amen.
I love preaching. And I'm exhorting you tonight. What are you going to do the rest of your life? You just going to come in a nice building like this and find you one of these blue seats that's got this nice foam rubber and fabric on it, and you just going to sit there and kind of heat it up a little bit for about an hour or 2 hours? And then go home and feed your gut and take a nap and come back on Sunday night and do it again. And just like a big old, just like a cow that's just chewing its cud out in a lazy sunny day. Just preaching, it means nothing.
Right.
You've done made up your mind. I'm not moving and I'm not getting right. I'm not letting anything affect me. That's the way most of our churches are. That's so sad.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's so sad.
Yes, sir.
It's devastating. I would have to imagine these paramedics that work day and night going into these homes, these drug addicts. There's been arguments and shotguns have been fired. And dealing with these major accidents from drunk drivers and people on drugs. I can't even imagine in my mind some of the gory mess and things that they have to hear and see day in and day out.
Right.
Yes.
Day in and day out.
Yes.
But on the spiritual flip side of that, I have to ask God to give me grace.
Yep.
Weekly, daily. As you try to stand and love people and preach God's wisdom to them. And you have to deal with the casualties.
Yep.
Because people live their life like fools.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
This is probably not a popular invitation tonight. But I want to exhort you tonight. What are you going to do with this week? You didn't have to have this week.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure your pastor is grateful for you being here.
Yes.
And putting forth the effort. But don't approach this week like, okay, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm not excited about this. You know, and I say this often, but most congregations coming into churches like mine and yours, I say this to my people sometimes.
Y'all look like you're pushing an IV pole across the parking lot coming into the church house. What's happened to our joy?
Amen.
What's happened to our zeal? What's happened to our tears? What's happened to our passion for sinners?
Amen.
What's happened to our excitement? Maybe God might save somebody.
Amen.
It's gone. It's because we're living with such devastation over such foolish choices. And it doesn't have to be that way. I wonder if you'd be willing to ask God to work deep in your heart. Help you to take to God's truth. However He spoke to you. Maybe you're lost tonight. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe your attitude about your pastor, your church, you need to get right with God. Let's stand together. Pastor, you come. Let's stand together. We'll call for a song. Will that be all right, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
We're going to give an invitation. If you feel a need to pray, you come right now. You don't need music. You can come right now. Find a place along these benches here, up here at the front of the church. Ask God to do a work in your heart and life. Father, help us, we pray. Thank you for the privilege to preach. I'm honored to stand in this pulpit. Thank you for this dear pastor and this people. Pray that you'd bless the Word of God. Help us as we come to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.